Our opening hymn this morning is number 385, Good Christian Friends Rejoice and Sing. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please rise for the invocation and the Kyrie. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Amen. The hymn of praise is number 754. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please join me with the prayer of the day. Eternal and all unmerciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. The first reading today is from Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter this city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 30, and we will read it responsively. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. Lord, my God, I cried to you for help. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones. For his anger is but for a moment. As for me, I said in my prosperity, by your favor, O Lord, to you, O Lord, I cried. What profit is there in my death? Will the dust praise you? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. You have turned my mourning into dancing. So that my soul may praise you and not be silent. The second reading is from Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord. I'm still up. That's all they gave me.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I haven't practiced this one, so hang on. Please rise for the gospel. Oh, do I have to say something? The gospel for today, the third Sunday of Easter, is from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, O Lord. Okay, John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together was Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples, Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Okay, I'm going to cry because this is the theme for AF Daily Bread. This is our theme. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you. I put you on the spot, but you're a teacher, so I knew you could do that. Today's sermon is based on the gospel and is taken from several ministers' sermons and notes, although today I have quite a bit of my thinking in here. I love this chapter of John. It makes me wonder about two things, not really discussed in a normal sermon. Of course, me, I would go out there, out of the box. 153 fish, and Jesus performed many other signs which are not recorded. So I have to ask, who counted the fish? And if you had time to count the fish, why didn't you record the other signs? Why was the fish such a big thing? I think it has to do with writers and men and who catches the most fish. John's gospel does not end once, but it ends twice. In the first ending, Jesus came to his disciples as they hid behind closed doors, and Jesus appears and says, peace to you, unto you. And he showed them his hands and his side. And then he says again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Thomas wasn't there, so he appears a second time for his sake. But I think maybe for those of us who like to overthink things, he comes again to take away any doubt. Thomas touches the holes in his hands, the cut in his side. John ends the chapter and makes us believe that this is the end of the account. If it's all a little bit confusing, it's hard to blame John because everyone knows how hard it is to come to an end. If you were writing, like in most sermons, you think of something, and then you think of something else, and then there's something else to add on to that. So you write a PS at the bottom, and then maybe a PPS. For those of you young people, that's when we used to write letters by hand. Okay, for those of you who are young, this is where you hit send. I think John maybe thought he was done, but there was more that needed to be told. So he tells another story. The second story comes after Easter. We don't know exactly when, but long enough for seven of the disciples to journey back to Galilee. Seven. Where were the other four? I don't know. But they go home. Mark tells us that Jesus told the women to go to Galilee. And Matthew tells us that an angel instructs the women that Jesus has risen and will meet them in Galilee. Again, it's the women getting the message, trying to pass it on. I'm just throwing that out there. Either way, they go back to a familiar land to find some peace and try to understand everything that has occurred. And remember, they probably have no money. I like that they go home. Just as I told you several Sundays ago, when you're lost or you don't know what to do, go back to what you know for sure. So they go home to fish. And why not? It's what several of them did to make a living before Jesus showed up and changed their lives. John's second ending reminds us of another night of fishing when nothing was getting caught. Throw your net out on the other side, he said. The same thing happens here. It's an ending that takes us right back to where they began, at the edge of the water. I think it's a calling for all of us to follow him. When I was in college, I spent several summers on the lake with my Uncle Nanu. He was teaching me to fish. In reality, as far as I could tell, it was just time spent outdoors, dragging a lure around behind the boat. One summer, we took it upon ourselves to catch a lot of fish. By a lot, I mean two limits apiece each day, which was legal. But then we would go out again the next day and do the same. One day, Uncle Lawrence told me what the law actually said about the number of fish a person could have. It was one or maybe two limits in sure at home, but then you could go again. I'm not sure of the possession number anymore, but it doesn't really matter because we had many possessions in the freezer. Nanu was also smoking fish and giving them away, but we had a lot of fish. I thought it was kind of funny because he was taking the fish home every night. I felt safe. But after a while, I was also taking fish home to my mom and dad's house and filling up their freezer. One day, my Aunt Rose and I think my mom said, we better do something. The freezers were getting full, and we were pushing our luck. So we decided to have a giant fish fry that 4th of July. It was at Pinky and Shirley's house. There might have been 153 fish. I'm not sure of the number, but it was a lot. Enough that the fine would have been very high. I'm sure we would not have been able to go fishing for a very long time, if ever. We fed a lot of people that day. I tell you this story because Jesus fed the men who would go on to spread the gospel to a lot of people. We here today are a result of that fish fry. He fed seven disciples that morning, and now millions of people all over the world know his name and what he did for us. What if Jesus wouldn't have gone back to the Sea of Galilee and fed those seven?
He had already appeared to them. He told them what their assignments were. He made Peter the rock. After all that, they still just went back to their old jobs of fishermen. Don't we do the same? We filled this church two times during Holy Week, but where are they today? Everyone went back to their old life, their old way of doing things. They went back to what they know best. I think that no matter how old or young we are, we get stuck in old assumptions, tired of the expectations of God, our church, jobs, friends, family, or even life itself. It sounds like it will only be a repeat of our past disappointments and frustrations because we keep casting our nets in the same place to get the same results. But the best part of the story is his conversation with Peter on the beach while they're eating fish. Jesus asked Peter three times, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And three times Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus answers all three, "Feed my sheep." Jesus is calling his disciples and us to follow him and feed his sheep. John's writing comes full circle. Chapter 1, Jesus went to Galilee. He found Philip and said, "Follow me." Jesus ends the book with the same words in chapter 23. He said to Peter, "Follow me." It's probably one of the hardest things for us to do. Jesus is telling us to stop doing what you are always doing and try something different. You want change? Throw your net out on the other side. But once you do, I promise life is sweeter. Maybe not easier, but it's softer. It's a little lighter burden. So come home again to find rest, to be reminded of the invitation to follow him for the first time, or maybe again. Where there was once emptiness, there's now hope. So let us cast our nets out on the other side of the boat. Let's go fishing, and then we'll have a fish fry. Amen.
Our hymn is number 624, "Jesus Still Lead On."
Thank you.
Please rise for the confession of faith and the prayers of the church. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Your love sustains the church and its ministries. By that love, equip youth directors, Sunday school teachers, and all who guide the formation of the church to nurture vibrant, living faith among your people. Hear us, O God. Your abundance is made known through creation. Preserve oceans and rivers, lakes and estuaries, so that all creatures living in them might flourish. Make us wise stewards of our local watersheds. Hear us, O God. Your wisdom guides all who strive for justice and peace. Strengthen the work of grassroots organizers, especially among communities on the front lines of justice work. Amplify the voices of those most in need, that there lights the way forward. Hear us, O God. Your compassion surrounds all who are in need. We pray for all people experiencing poverty and food insecurity, and for all struggling with debt and economic uncertainty. Reassure all who experience hopelessness or need of your tender care, especially those we lift to you now in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You invite all people to your table of grace. Make this a community of radical hospitality where all feel loved and celebrated. Show us how to better welcome visitors and bless the ministries of hospitality in this place. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We praise you for the witness of your saints of all times and places. May their lives of faith guide us in our own journeys with you today and every day. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all to our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Patty? Oh, yeah.
And I was looking at you three guys, and I'm like, those guys know all about fish, right? Yeah, because I've seen some pictures of fishing. Your grandpa takes you fishing, your dad takes you fishing. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not even going to talk about that, because I don't even like to fish. I think it's stupid. Like Pat said, you put your worm in the water, and nothing ever happens to me. I've never caught a fish. So I just read a book instead. Maybe one of you guys could teach me. Yeah. Well, you think? Why don't you scoot a little closer? I won't hurt you. So we're gonna talk about a different lesson. If you were listening, you heard a lesson about a blind guy, right? So, have you ever been blind? Have you ever thought of what it would be like to be blind? Have you? Try shutting your eyes in the shower. Don't, old people, don't shut your eyes in the shower. You'll fall over. Just say, I've tried it. You know why I've tried it? Because 20 years ago yesterday, a little baby was born too early, so now she can't see. And we think she can't see. She doesn't do the things other kids do. And we pray and pray. But you know what now? She's 20 years old. And she can't do stuff that you can do. And she can't see. We don't think. She doesn't tell us if she can see. Because she doesn't know any different, right? If you don't know any different. So the last time she was at my house, she's really kind of spoiled. And she always takes her shoes off and wants to get her feet rubbed. So she's there, and I'm rubbing her feet. And then I just casually reach over and pick up my phone. It didn't make any sense. No lights came on. But right away, here comes her hand. She can only use one hand. But here comes her hand to take my phone away. I think it was a miracle. How'd she know I had my phone over here? Maybe because we prayed for so long for her to see. We don't know. She didn't tell us. I could see her phone. Grandma gave it to me. Do you think she calls people? How would she call people? She doesn't really talk. She can't see to push the buttons, but she wants my phone. That means she's still in her, that's still a teenager, right? Well, now she turned 20, so she's got to quit that stuff too, right? She's got to quit using her phone. She likes to listen to Pete the Cat. I know it's not weird. Pete the Cat's her thing right now. Probably in July she'll want to hear Christmas music, because that's how she rolls. But we prayed and prayed when she was little that she would see. But did it make any difference? It didn't make any difference, did it? Seeing wasn't all it's cracked up to be. Now, in the story that we heard, something fell off the eyes like fish scales, it says. Go back and take your mom and dad's thing and look at it and see what it says. Like fish scales fell off the man's eyes and he could see. We prayed for that to happen to Hallie Jo, but she can still, we don't know how she can see. Shut your eyes for a long time and then try to find something over here. Yeah, yeah, you can find him next to you, right? Don't shut your eyes in the shower for a long time, you'll fall. Okay? So when you pray for something, you don't know if your prayer's been answered, right? You don't know. But maybe it was answered for us. Because 20 years later, she's still here, and she's still trying to steal my phone, right? That's what we prayed for, is that. All ready? Let's go, monkeys. You and Finn.
Come here.
Yeah. You guys see? Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the third Sunday of Easter. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station and the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Evan Gallegos, Dale Moracle, Robin Herndon, and Kaysen Kendall. There are other announcements. I'll get out of the way.
We brought some rhubarb for the share table. If you want more, let me know.
I did not bring rhubarb, but I also have a bunch at my house. So you can contact me if you want more. Brenda and I are hospitality this morning, and part of that in the prayers it said, make us a more hospitality-driven church. And so stay for coffee hour and join us. and talk to somebody that you don't often talk to that maybe is not a relative. So get to know somebody you don't know very well. Okay, so stay for coffee. Thanks. Oh, and I was going through stuff and I found Pat Chase's recipe for molasses cookies. So guess what I brought today? There you go.
The offering will be received now. Please join me in the prayer. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now the benediction. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Our recessional hymn is number 543, Go, My Children, with My Blessing. Be number 542.
That's okay. Just keep playing.
Just the other side of the page.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.